Hey everyone, Tommy here, and this is Fighting Words. My friends got tired of hearing me talk about fights, so I did what everyone does. I started a podcast. I'm not an analyst, I'm a fan of the sport, so expect some different takes and breakdowns from a different perspective. But enough about that. Let's finally talk about some fights. Oh, so excited. Fights are back. Remember a few weeks ago how Dana White announced that the rebooted UFC 249 card? Well, it's going down this weekend in Florida. With all except for the Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer fight. But that's supposed to be happening in June. I'm for it. Awesome. I know a lot of people are going to give him shit about this happening. But if anyone is saying they aren't excited about some kind of sports returning, they're lying. I've seen the internet complain about being bored without sports. Hell, I've been bored. There are three events within 8 days? Oh my god. I bet that these will be some of the most viewed events in UFC history. And I am so excited. Dana White, I love you right now, man. If you're somehow listening to this, you're the best. It's great. But I'm going to break down the first two UFC events today. So I'm going to hop straight into that, and then we'll talk about a little bit of news afterward. So the first event, UFC 249. Here's the thing. These events are going to be much different than what we're used to. There won't be in-cage post-fight interviews. The UFC said they're going to take fighters to isolated room with a microphone to talk to Joe Rogan via headset. So we will see delays in those interviews. They're going to be cleaning the cage after each fight, so we'll have longer breaks in between fights. But hey, who cares? Fights are back! I'm so ready! And our first fight that I'm going to talk about, the main event, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje for the interim lightweight championship. Look, I will be the first person to say I am so bummed that Khabib versus Tony is not happening. But I would be lying if I didn't say that matchup-wise, I like this fight more. This fight excites me. It's going to be violent. It's going to be brutal. Justin Gaethje does not give a fuck in this fight. And Tony Ferguson is a weird type of dangerous that no one sees. Gaethje is going to go out there and throw reckless abandon. Hell, he said he hopes Tony breaks his nose because Gaethje has been needing to get surgery on that to be able to breathe right, and he wants the UFC to pay for it. I think that's hilarious, but it'll probably happen. Honestly, you don't fight Tony Ferguson and not get beat up. But the same thing is said about Gaethje. You don't fight Justin Gaethje without getting beat up really badly. But the one thing here is Tony doesn't get tired. Gaethje does. Justin Gaethje's biggest chance is in the first two rounds. If he can get that finish there, then perfect. Perfect show for Justin Gaethje. If not, he's dragging Tony into deep waters, and Tony Ferguson gets better as the fight goes along. It's really weird to see, but it's great. I think that in that scenario, let's assume that he doesn't knock Tony out in the first two rounds because Tony can take a beating. We then have Tony Ferguson implementing his game with some really weird striking, some takedowns, and some submission attempts. Gaethje's probably not going to use his wrestling, even though he has a phenomenal wrestling background. And he's just going to wear Gaethje down. And I think that's the biggest difference there, is that Tony can withstand Justin Gaethje's full force recklessness for two rounds. I think after that, it's Tony's game. And I'm going with Tony by decision, but at the same time, I'm not 100% sure on that. Next up, we have Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz for the Bantamweight Championship. I know a lot of people are mad about Dominic Cruz getting a title shot. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, what about Peter Yan? Well, Peter Yan can't get in the country right now. What about Aljamain Sterling? I'll give you that one. I 100% give you that. I think he deserves a title shot, but also, he's in New York. He is in the epicenter of a pandemic. Maybe he can't train for a title fight. Cruz was able to, but the question is Dominic Cruz at 100%? And that's something we don't know. If the Dominic Cruz that shows up Saturday night is the same Dominic Cruz that fought Cody Garbrandt, he will get finished by Henry Cejudo. There's no doubt about that. If it's the Dominic Cruz that shows up that fought TJ Dillashaw, now we're in for a fight. And then that's the one I want to see. I want to see peak Cruz versus peak Cejudo. And in that fight, we would have Henry Cejudo, Triple C, first Olympic gold medalist, UFC champion, and double champ. Amazing background against the greatest bantamweight of all time. I love the matchup, even though Cruz hasn't fought in so long. Cruz is so smart. He's downright cerebral when it comes to how he fights. His fight IQ is higher than any fighter out there, which is why you see him, when he's not fighting, as an analyst. He will watch what the fighters do over the first couple rounds and then continue to counter that and break them. But here's the thing. You can't break Henry Cejudo. Like, if this were the Henry Cejudo that fought Demetrius Johnson the first time, yeah, you could break him. You could 100% break him. Demetrius Johnson broke him. But then you get the new one, the Triple C. No, you cannot stop him. There's no mind games, no breaking that you could do in that cage. Now, if you look at Henry Cejudo versus Marlon Moraes, how Henry Cejudo downright lost that first round. Arguably a 10-8 round, how bad that was. Then he came back and just flipped the switch and just was like, you know what? Original game plan wasn't working. Now I'm gonna kick your ass. And that's exactly what he did. He came back. He won that fight with a finish after getting demolished. And I think he learned that kind of training for Mighty Mouse the second time and then beating Demetrius Johnson. Like, he gained a little bit of confidence out of that, and it really helped him. I think that if Cruz shows up in the best form of Dominic Cruz, we will get a 5-round smart fight. It might not be the most entertaining fight to watch. Dominic Cruz will keep at his range, use his style, and then Henry Cejudo is going to try to push forward. The question there is, will that push be enough to stop Dominic Cruz from breaking down Henry Cejudo's moves and then countering them with his own unique style to essentially just score points and win? And I think it will. I hate to say it because I love watching Dominic Cruz fight. Dominic Cruz is one of my favorite fighters. I think Henry Cejudo will win this fight. I don't think Henry Cejudo will finish Cruz. I certainly know Dominic Cruz is not going to finish Henry Cejudo. This is a fight that will go 5 rounds. But I think it'll come down to Henry Cejudo getting the decision. It might not be the most fun thing to watch, but I promise you, takedowns will be the entire decision-making factor there. Henry Cejudo's wrestling background will help him, and he will win by decision. Next up, we have Francis Ngannou versus Jairzo Rozenstruik. This fight has been booked so many times now, but now we have it as a 3-round fight, and that's so much better for Francis. Like, he can come in there, not have to worry about going five rounds that he had been training for, so he can use more energy and more power and just knock out Rozenstruik. Like, if you look at Rozenstruik's last fight against Alistair Overeem, he was getting demolished until that last round when he landed a big shot. Yes, Rozenstruik has huge power, but he's also vulnerable a lot. And you cannot be vulnerable when you're fighting Francis Ngannou. He will just knock you out that way. It's going to be a bad night for Rozenstruik. I'm going to say that this is going to be a first-round knockout. And I don't think that there's any way it doesn't end in a knockout, even if it's out of the first. Next up, we have a rematch that's been, God, years in the making. Donald Cerrone versus Anthony Pettis. This is a fun fight. If Donald Cerrone shows up, the cowboy that we all know and love, and Anthony Pettis shows up, just showtime, ready to go, this is fight of the year right here. Both guys just going in, ready to go, ready to swing. Pettis able to try to get takedowns to go for submissions. Cerrone just being defensive on it, trying his own submissions, getting back up, both of them just slugging. It could be such a fun fight. But then we've also seen examples of Cerrone and Pettis not showing up, not wanting to be there. Cerrone admitted with his fight with McGregor that, yeah, he was a little out of it, that maybe he didn't want to be there. Pettis, I mean, you look at his fight with Nate Diaz, his last fight where he got submitted, there's a lot of examples of how these guys can not show up. But I want to look at how they will, like, how they can show up in the best form possible. If we get that best form, we've got a great fight. And I think Donald Cerrone will, no matter what, in this fight, show up in the best, like, form of Donald Cerrone we have seen. I think he's going to be ready for a fight. I think he's going to be game. The question for me is going to be Pettis. When Pettis shows up ready for a fight, he is better than anyone else in that lightweight division, for the most part, other than, really, Khabib, Tony, and Conor, in my opinion. He is better than anyone else. But he's susceptible to getting knocked out. He's susceptible to getting choked out. Donald Cerrone can do both of these. Now, do I think he will successfully do these against Anthony Pettis? God, no, I don't. I think that Anthony Pettis can choke out Cerrone, but it's not going to happen. I think he can knock out Cerrone, but it's not going to happen. I think this fight will go to a decision. I think it will be a dirty fight, and I'm going to go with Cowboy. I'm going with Cowboy by decision. Next up, we have Alexia Olenek versus Fabricio Werdum. Olenek called out Werdum after his last fight, and it looks like he's getting his wish. Werdum hasn't fought in, God, 2 years since his knockout loss and his USADA suspension? And I don't know what to expect out of this, honestly. We've got Olenek, who is a submission master, and Fabricio Werdum, who's no slouch on the ground either. But we don't know how Werdum will fight anymore after it's been 2 years. Will he be the Werdum of old, where he's just murking people? Will he be able to submit fighters? Will age have finally just caught up to him? I do not know. So for this one, I think this is a bad matchup for Werdum for a return. I'm going with Olenek winning by submission, and I don't think Werdum should fight after this. I hate to say that, but it just doesn't make sense. Werdum is a lot older now, but I don't like this fight for Verdum. Next up, we've got a fight that I really like. Carla Esparza versus Michelle Waterson. Carla Esparza last fought when... I don't know, she fought... Who was it that Carla Esparza fought? Carla last fought Alexa Grasso in September. That's what it was. Sorry about that. And she won by a decision. And she's been getting a lot better with her striking. Which, I can't believe I'm saying that. Because if you watch previous fights, she was never a striker. And she's still not really a striker. But her boxing has certainly improved. She's more confident in her boxing. Before, she would try to get close, get that takedown, and just ground and pound, or try to submit you. Now she'll stand up with you until she has an opportunity to take you down. But that's not going to work with Michelle Waterson. Michelle Waterson is one of the best strikers in the strawweight division. In order for Carla to be able to win this fight, she's going to have to take her down and gonna have to really rely on bloodying up Michelle Waterson. Because Michelle Waterson can submit a fighter. Michelle Waterson has done it more times than she's knocked out fighters, actually. And her striking is super elite. Michelle Waterson last submitted Paige VanZant. That's not easy to do. But she's... I don't know. She last fought against Joanna, and it was a really good fight, but Joanna dominated that fight. I don't think that Carla can bring the pressure that Joanna did. I think Michelle Waterson can outpoint Carla and can avoid the big takedowns, and if she gets taken down, I think she can reverse it to a position that's beneficial for her. But I don't think she will get taken down because she can use her kicks or her punches to keep her at a range that is beneficial for her. So I'm going with Michelle Waterson by decision. And now we've got a fight that this one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I guess I'm okay with. Uriah Hall versus Jacare Souza. Uriah Hall hasn't fought an elite fighter, at least on the ground, like Jacare, that I know of. And Jacare just went up to light heavyweight to fight Jan Błachowicz and lost. So, we've got a really weird dynamic here. Yeah, Uriah Hall is on a winning streak for the first time since 2015. He last beat Antonio Carlos Jr., who everyone thought was the next big thing. But that was a split decision. That was a close fight. Then you've got the Uriah Hall that always that'll show up and just knock somebody out in spectacular fashion. And it's always amazing to watch. But that being said, Jacare knows how to knock somebody out too. Jacare has a lot of knockouts as of late. He knocked out Chris Weidman. He knocked out Derek Brunson. He knocked out Vitor Belfort. But then what Uriah Hall really has to worry about is the submissions, the takedowns. And I guarantee you he cannot stop a takedown from Jacare Souza. Souza will take down Hall. He might not submit Hall. But he will get those takedowns. He will attempt submissions. He will get them if Hall isn't watching the fight. Like, if he's not paying attention, Hall's going to sleep. Period. Hall's only way to win this fight is to knock out Souza. And I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going with Jacare with a late second round submission. And next up we have UFC Fight Night Smith versus Teixeira, which is on Wednesday. The main event, Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira, is a return of two light heavyweight contenders. It's really the only way I can put it. Anthony Smith is coming back after I believe it's a hand injury that kept him out for a while after he beat Alexander Gustafsson and lost to John Jones. And then Glover recently is on a 3-fight win streak after beating Carl Robertson, Ion Cutelaba, and Nikita Krylov. Both of these guys are wanting to get back in there with John Jones. That I don't know any other way to put it. And if Glover loses this, I think he knows it's kind of his last shot. He knows that with his age and with how John Jones has been fighting, or how little Jones is fighting now because of the pandemic and everything going on, this might be his last chance to get into title contention. So I think we're going to see a really dangerous Glover against an always dangerous Anthony Smith. But here's the thing. Anthony Smith isn't a very technical fighter. He's a very powerful fighter, and he's a very good striker. But that doesn't mean he has a lot behind it. Glover Teixeira is very, very technical. Now, I think that a lot of that's going to get thrown out the window. I'm not going to lie. A lot of that's going to come down to Anthony Smith coming forward and just swinging. Glover is going to have to be defensive. He's going to have to use takedowns. He's going to have to try to get a submission. And I think over 5 rounds, while that's going to be easier to get those takedowns, I don't think he's going to be able to submit Anthony Smith. So both guys are really just going to have to use that power. And I think Anthony Smith has the ability to use that power better than Glover. So I'm going to go with, oh God, I hate to say it, but I'm going with Anthony Smith by 4th round TKO. Yeah. Oh God, I hate saying that. I love watching Glover, by the way. So yeah, that's why that sucks for me. Next up, we have Ben Rothwell versus Ovince St. Preux. Yeah, the light heavyweight, Ovince St. Preux, is stepping up to heavyweight to fight Ben Rothwell. Come on, UFC. Could you have given him a smaller heavyweight? Like, that would have been a little bit better for him? Instead of Ben Rothwell, who has to cut weight to get to 265 and is a beast? Like, I don't know here. Last time we saw Ben Rothwell, he knocked Stefan Struve out. Stefan Struve. That's hard to do. That's a big boy, too. And, yeah, you've got Ovince St. Preux's amazing submissions. The Von Fluke choke, which might as well be renamed the OSP choke. But can he take down Ben Rothwell where he's so much bigger? I don't think so. I really, truly don't think he can. I think Ben Rothwell is gonna knock out OSP within 2 rounds. And that sucks. It really does. It's just a bad matchup that I don't even want to see. But it's what we're getting because OSP was down for it. Next up, we have Alexander Hernandez versus Drew Dober. And this is a fun fight. You've got Alexander Hernandez, who's just going out and just always willing to put on a fight. The way he knocked out Beneil Dariush, the way he fought Oliver Oben Mercer, hell, even when he lost to Donald Cerrone, when he fought to Francisco Trinaldo, all of these were fun fights to watch. And then you've got Drew Dober, who is, by God, a knockout artist. I'm looking at his record, and I didn't realize he had knockouts like this. That he knocked out Josh Berkman in the 1st round. Knocked out Marco Polo Reyes in the 1st round. His last fight against Nasrat. I'm not even going to try that last name. I'm sorry. In the 1st round. It's brutal. Now, do I think that Dober can do that to Alexander Hernandez? I absolutely think he can do that to Alexander Hernandez. Do I think that it's going to happen? No. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Alexander Hernandez's style embraces chaos like that. Now, I think we're going to see Hernandez in danger. I think we're going to see Drew Dober have a lot of success in the first round. After that, I think Hernandez is going to really put the pressure on Dober, wear him down, and get the win. And that's just the only way I see that going down. Next up, we have Ricky Simone versus Ray Borg. This is a really good fight for Ray Borg. I'm not going to lie. A bantamweight fight against Ricky Simone, who's on a 2-fight losing streak, who hasn't fought since December. And then you've got Ray Borg. While, yeah, he has trouble making weight, even at bantamweight, which still kind of blows my mind, is on a 2-fight winning streak, and is just, he's such a good fighter. He's got such great submissions, and he knows how to grind better than a lot of people, whether it's in flyweight or bantamweight divisions. Like, he fought Demetrius Johnson, and he didn't fight great against Demetrius Johnson, but the fact that he made it to the 5th round is impressive, to say the least. It shows how good he truly is. So, I think this is a really good fight for Ray Borg. I think he's going to win by decision. Next up, we have Andrei Arlovsky versus Felipe Lins. I honestly had no clue Andrei Arlovsky is still fighting. I looked it up. He recently, last lost to Jarenzo Rozenstruik in November. I probably covered that and just forgot about it. But Felipe Lins is not a young guy, but he's making his UFC debut after fighting in PFL, and is a knockout monster. And I mean, just every win pretty much is a knockout. He knocked out Jared Rochelt. He knocked out Josh Copeland, Alex Nicholson. He's got a lot of knockouts. And I don't know. I think it's with the power of Lins and the age of Arlovsky, I think Felipe Lins will get the knockout probably early in the 2nd round, I would say. And next up, we have Michael Johnson versus Thiago Moraes. Now, this is Michael Johnson's return to lightweight, I believe. No, it's his 2nd fight at lightweight. He lost to Stevie Ray in October. That's what that is. So, this is a hard one for me because Michael Johnson is similar to Uriah Hall in that he's a very 50-50 fighter. Either he's there and he's phenomenal, like when he beat Dustin Poirier or Andre Fili or Artem Lobov, or he's not there when he lost to Josh Emmett or Darren Elkins. But I feel like this is Michael Johnson's time to shine, that he'll probably just get a decision win. I don't think he's going to knock out Moraes, because Moraes is tough. I don't think he's going to get a submission. Michael Johnson's not really a submission specialist. If anything, if a submission happens, it'll be him on the receiving end of it and tapping out. Like, he's very, very susceptible to submissions. But yeah, I'm going Michael Johnson by decision. And last up, we have Sajara Eubanks versus Sarah Morris. Now, Sajara Eubanks was in The Ultimate Fighter and was supposed to have a title shot because of The Ultimate Fighter until she had weight cut issues and Roxanne Modafferi stepped in. Now, yeah, she beat Modafferi, but she still had weight cutting issues and moved up to bantamweight. Well, bantamweight has not been kind to her. She lost to Aspen Ladd, and she lost to Betch Kohea. Sarah Marais is really a fight that she shouldn't lose. Like, she should not lose this fight at all. Like, both records are not that great. Morris was on a 3-fight losing streak until her last fight in September against Liana Joja, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But the biggest thing here is, will Sarge's power translate into a knockout win? Because that's really all she's got in this fight. She's got her power. Like, she doesn't have a ground game. We all know that. She doesn't have that great of a submission defense. She can grind out a decision, but we've seen how well that goes for her. It doesn't go well in the UFC for her. She hasn't won at bantamweight yet. Now, I think this is the time that she will win at bantamweight. I think that she really will get this knockout. Now, if she doesn't, the UFC is going to cut her. She's done. Period. They put a lot of time investing in that season of The Ultimate Fighter to bring in the flyweight division for her to miss weight, then fought Roxanne Modafferi, missed weight again, moved up to bantamweight, and has lost twice now. If she loses a third time at bantamweight, she's done. So yeah, I'm going Sarge knockout first round. And that's all those fights. Thanks for listening. You can find the podcast at anchor.fm/fighting-words or on all podcast services. On Twitter at FightWordsPod. My personal Twitter, Nightwing593. You can support the podcast with a monthly donation of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 a month. That would get you producer credit in the show notes by going to anchor.fm/fighting-words. Until next time, I'm Tommy, and these are Fighting Words.